going to say hops. Anyway.
Hops
in beer. Hops.
Hops.
Yeah, hops in beer, causing boobies in men and beer stomachs and all sorts of problems, prostate problems and stuff as well.
Well, yeah, and even then, estrogen. Is it really the hops in the beer, or is it all the chemicals they put in beer?
Yeah, more the hops, I think, because it's such powerful medicine. So it's it just can contribute, that's all, like plastics or, you know, soybeans, peanuts, these things, sort of these endocrinal hormone mimickers.
Right.
But I have heard, I'm not sure, it was a study that I, seems to all go back to one study, but it is talking about, men drinking beer. Having these problems, and it could be the hops, not so much the carbohydrates and kilojoules in beer are very high. I mean, it's like drinking liquid bread, but seems to be the hops that are having this, that have the estrogen in them, or mimickers, you know, that are giving the men the man boobs as well. So, I mean, it's contributing to an already existing problem, like many foods and things we take, you know. But I don't know if it's true. It's just was a study that was out there. Hard to say.
Yeah, well, there's a
apparently the Germans noticed it. It just goes back to the German purity law, you know. They noticed it earlier on that women were having menstrual problems and stuff, hormonal problems, picking the hops. But it's just amazing that they made it.
I know, but when
the thing hops is, and bee have to put it in.
I think that's a little bit of a controlled information because it has anything to do with agriculture. First, you have to wonder what the heck are they, you know, what's in the field, in those hops fields. You know, they're probably poisoned like hell with all kinds of pesticides or something, you know. Agricultural, agrochemicals, unless it's organic hops, you know, I wouldn't blame nature, you know.
I
mean, beer is... The cheaper beers, you know, like Budweiser, do have a reputation. I don't know if it's deserved or not, but I think it is for being highly toxic and having an exemption from the labeling laws.
Terrible, and they use rice.
So supposedly they are poisoned.
Terrible stuff. Sorry, America.
Yeah.
I'd go with the original Budweiser.
Right.
Over in Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic?
They got the original Budweiser.
Oh, and that's the better way to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pure beer. That's really good beer. There was a problem there. There's lots of things going on with the name, but maybe Americans just like the name. You know?
Well, I did find a site here called Poison People. one.wordpress.com. Transgender asynchronicity, what causes it? And supposedly it tries to analyze what causes transgender, and it talks about chemicals and the sociological and toxicological unnatural causation that could be causing the transgender epidemic, you know. We're not supposed to talk about it. See, they try to make transgender into a holy thing where you can get you can actually get fined like hundreds of thousands of dollars if you apply the wrong, what do you call it, if you call them Mr. when they're actually, when they think they're a Mrs. or something like that, you can get fined several hundred thousand dollars. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
They've actually passed laws in California. Well, that's all to dramatize, just like a virus dramatizes the avoidance of toxicology. Now we have these like non-democratic bombardment unusual arguments about transgender. You know, addressing a transgender person by the wrong gender, you know, that's all basically a smokescreen. So that's it. That's our thesis.
Yeah, well, that's put up a bit of that on crasfiles.com, Jim, about that. Yeah, will this perverted sexual education agenda being introduced to classrooms? We're getting it here.
Yeah, there, and also,
you know, we've got it here bad, and Canada have it as bad as well. And you know, that's what all the same sex marriage was here as well. But you know, as you said, yeah, it always ties back to something. So I guess this is all just prepping, isn't it? Putting it into the education system, all this perverted stuff. But
I just got a inspiration here. What's happening is that what they always do is that they invent a new Puritanism based on, they make it a sin not to be a perverted.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. They do.
You know what I mean? So it's an inverted.
You're a sick man if you're just married to a woman and you want to have a family.
Right.
Sick.
Right.
You're a sick man.
Right.
You just want to settle down, buy a house and have a family and have a wife and have some kids. You are a sick puppy.
And if you don't want to teach, 5-year-old children how to have
anal sex,
well, then you're a pervert.
That's right. It's all about the anus, Jim. It's all about the anus.
Right.
It's like the upside down cross.
Pretty funny.
That's right. I put an article up on that exposing it. It is very good. And when you read these manuals, anyone can go to our website. It's up there, pretty new, exposing the perverted sexual education agenda. They got these manuals they're showing in the schools in America with very graphic illustrations of kids masturbating and all this. And as I said, this has been exposed in Australia, but it's all coming from the United Nations Children's Fund, and they're pushing it all around the place. So, kind of unbelievable.
It's really unbelievable. It's just another version of like vaccination, where unless you're not into injecting your child with poison, you're a horrible person, you know.
That's right. It just depends on how much parents, if you look at that, are going to put up with. The more you put up with, the more they push. So they're always testing the waters in civilization, you know, in cultures. Yeah. They brainwash people. They dumb them down through the news and the TVs, and the chemicals and the neutering everybody, Jim. And, I don't mean to be mean, and I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just around when I'm on my daily rounds, I'm seeing zombified people. And they're just in a zombie kind of trance state. I feel like walking up and, you know, clicking my fingers in their face. Are you there? Is anybody home? It's very strange. If people are going to put up with this, you know, because it's offensive to the gay and lesbian, transsexual, queer mob, then they're just going to keep doing it and keep doing it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. But it's all about, it seems to be about sterilizing populations anyway.
Well, I don't think they want to sterilize. I think they just want to play games, you know. Like
yeah, it could be.
Like, they keep talking about like a, what do you call it? When you're destroying an entire race, you know. Anyway, it's not about destroying or sterilizing. It's not about an absolute. It's about playing games between definitions.
We're like mice, aren't we, in a maze?
You know, it's by causing indecision in undefinition and non-definition, and you know, it's not getting rid of your race. It's making you wonder about basic things. You know,
it's crazy, Jim, because you know, we're trying to warn people though, but this whole gay LGBTQ movement, you know, the gay lesbian movement. I mean, Australia's the gay capital of the world. Sydney's the gay capital of the world. Huh. We have the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras here, and everybody seems gay. Right. And the girls hang around with gay guys because they watch Sex and the City. And so, and the men are being demonized with all this Harvey Weinstein thing now. All men are being treated like they're sexual deviants. So the male role model figure is being demonized and humiliated here. And, this is what's happening. But with the gay marriage equality vote that they had in Australia, you know, I was trying to tell everybody it's not about that. It's not about gay people, you know. I mean, how much of the population to actual gay couples living and working together who have professional lives together, maybe kids make up. They don't make up much of the population, but it was never about them. And even the gay lesbian movement admitted that. You know, so they got that through. So our laws have been changed there. But already they've, in Queensland, Australia, they've already taken the gender out of people's driver's licenses. So you can't be a male or a female on your driver's license anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's not fair. The gay and lesbian mob bombarded the telephone lines of the, government transit people, and they've already changed the laws up there, and it's ridiculous because why am I discriminating against the gay and lesbian movement because I see myself as a male, because I'm a man? It's absolutely insane, but that's what they're doing. But it's all divide and conquer, I know.
Well, it's like
that's what they're able to do. And I was totally shocked with that one, Jim. And I said that, you know, what does taking the gender out of your bloody driver's license have to do with gay marriage equality voting in law in Australia? I mean, it's silly. But, yeah, it is silly. It's a game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think this, as I always say, I think this this type of thing, this kind of frustration that's imposed upon people, the attack on the family, the glorification of gayness, it goes way, 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 way back, you know, like 20,000 years. But very obviously in Rome, you know, when you see the statues of some guy, you know, some young man in the middle of the square, like they have a big giant statue of him with his penis sticking out, and his eyes are gaunt, you know, like he's ready to take it in the rear. You know, it's like it's just a way of blowing everybody's minds, you know, to keep the
shock. Value.
To keep the industrial culture happy, you know.
It's crazy. The pornography addiction as well, Jim, today with the internet, it's frightening, what's happening there and young people. That's an unbelievable thing because nothing's shocking for them anymore, you know.
Well, it's
sexually anyway, yeah. And it's all coming from Facebook.
Yeah,
you know, and I've been barred from Facebook many times. A lot of people I know, I mean, have been blocked off there. Many, many people have been blocked off, and because you violate Facebook's community standings, you know. But you watch, I've seen documentaries. Porn on the Brain is one. A British guy made it, and he's talking to school kids about where they're getting all this pornography, and they're talking about animal pornography, and he's asking them what's the main thing in pornography you see, and they're all saying anal sex. And the guy's like, where are you getting all this pornography? And all these young people are saying Facebook. And I'm being bombarded with pornography on Facebook as well in my messages. And but you put up an article they don't like, they ban you for violating their community standards. Just amazing, you know. But it does anger you, you know. But that's all. You're just playing into the system if you get angry at it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think you have to look at it as games. You know, this is we're in a world of games, and this is the current game. You know, here it is. Now deal with it. You know, how are you going to deal with it? You know. And also, you know, I mean, the way I try to maintain my sanity is to realize that this does go back. I mean, Aristotle spells out how the demagoguery, or how the oligarchy is supposed to maintain power. And he states that the men must constantly be undermined with small democracy, or radical democracy. Yeah, that's radical democracy, you know, where it's like everybody has rights, you know. And he always talks about the liberation of the so-called liberation of women, which is actually used to undermine men. That women will always be tattletaling on men. and always undermining men. That's the basis for tyranny. And that's he doesn't talk about tyranny as a bad thing. He just talks about it as he just means that tyranny is like the rule of power, which is necessary. And he says one of the means is just to have women constantly undermining men, and you constantly have a perpetual liberation of slaves. It's just it's not for really about liberating slaves. It's about creating a a discourse in society.
This is good, Jim. It's it's a way for us to move forward on this podcast and kind of piece all of this together.
Yeah,
because it all means something and it's all part of the one picture, but it's so fragmented.
You were saying there that you noticed that the Masons were involved in the pharmaceutical research. The Freemasons were involved in pharmaceutical.
Yeah, the skeptics.
Oh yeah, they're the ones promoting the vaccines and
mandatory vaccination agenda. The science skeptics in Australia.
Yeah, those are the trolls. Troll
army. Yeah, they're Freemasons.
Yeah, and I've noticed that I was thinking about joining the Masons. About 15 years ago or 10 years ago. So I went to the New York State
Grand Poobah,
the head office there, and I did the tour just to see what it was like. And I noticed that at one point they mentioned a pharmaceutical research laboratory that the Masons owned in upstate New York for researching AIDS, HIV/AIDS. And I thought, well, that's really weird, because, to do medical research, you have to have a lot of, you have to be in with the government, and you have to have a big license to be able to do that, But they had their own pharmaceutical research lab, the Masons,
Mm.
So
they seem to be tied up with the Skeptics Society, so there's a war on our bodies in Australia, It's Yeah, it's a war on any kind of natural medicine or therapies, or the freedom of choice, the right to choice to choose what goes into your body. So it all seems to be connecting back to these same people who are science skeptics. They're really atheist liars, and they are totally against natural law, and they are pushing a transhuman agenda as well, but there's a big war in Australia against natural therapies and therapists and homeopaths and homeopathy, naturopaths, Chinese medicine, all of this stuff. If it isn't vaccines and drugs, there's a war against it, and these people seem to be in the government lobbying them as well, and some of their troll attack dogs seem to be Masons.
Right. Well, the Masons are like a social group. It extends out, it extends out sort of like the Boy Scouts, in that it has a whole hierarchy of volunteer labor, of people who believe in it because they think it's a source of power and society for them. They have
polishes.
Right. So they have everything from barbecues to religious rituals, where you get brought into the system with a sword on your shoulder,
Exactly, yeah.
It's like a knighthood.
They seem to be running Australia. It's just crazy what's happening here.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to say is it's not crazy, it's just the way it is, and that's the way it's not new, it's the way it always has been. I'm looking right now at Aristotle's Politics, his book 5, he says, to maintain tyranny, you must, let's see here, number one, they're preserved in two opposite ways. One is the traditional method in which tyrants administer their government. There are firstly the prescriptions mentioned some distance back for the preservation of tyranny. that the tyrant should lop off the heads of those who hold their head too high. Men of spirit must be put to death. This is Aristotle.
That's right.
And he must not allow common meals with other men, clubs, or education and the like, and he must be upon his guard against anything which is likely to inspire courage. The tyrant must be on his guard against the man of courage, and he must kill him. And this is in the Bible, too, the Old Testament. It says that why does God, I've read this in the Bible, where it says, why does God kill the brave and the strong? And it says, because God is just and right. That's the answer. You know what I mean? So it's a very old concept of keeping men of spirit in fear, and keep them. And you know that in our society, men are basically antisocial compared to women. Women are encouraged to be with each other, to have social times, to be with the children. Men are separated from the family. The woman is given the power, the ultimate power, the veto power on family matters, even though in many ways the talents of men, like logic and the ability to judge space and time, are superior often in men. That's one of their talents, the mechanical world. It is of great value to the family, but the men are must take a back seat, you know. Mm. And that's all part of the maintaining order in society, keeping the bull penned up, basically, psychologically penned up through women.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, it says here, Aristotle says, a tyrant should endeavor to know what his subjects do, and he should employ spies, such as female detectives and eavesdroppers throughout society. And it's women, basically.
And yeah, that's the Mossad did that.
Right.
Very well known for that.
The Mossad.
Yeah, Mossad.
Right. And then another of the arts, he says, as he calls them arts, the tyrant is to sow quarrels among the citizens. Now, that's what this gender identity thing is, and if you don't call them Mr. and Mrs. and Ms. and all that, that sows quarrels among the citizens.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, we're not allowed to say Miss or her or him.
Right.
Or identify ourselves as a he or a she.
And it's always changing. It's always keeping you off your footing. Every year, there's going to be another bunch of words you have to memorize, another bunch of PC you have to memorize. This is goes on forever. It's not a new thing at all. And friends should be embroiled with friends. People should be against the notables and the rich against each other. And he should impoverish his subjects. He should provide for the maintenance of a guard by the citizen and the people, to keep them hard at work, to prevent people from conspiring. And that's true. People are working one or two jobs. They have no time to think about anything. They're just trying to keep their autistic children, the medical bill paid for, or their ADHD children, whatever. You know, that's part of the, it works into ultrasound, it works into pollution. It's just another
way. Back to Rome, as you were talking about Rome before, you know, before the collapse of Rome, you know, there was so much corruption within the governments, and they had to make the spectator sports more brutal and violent, and you know, get the crowds more involved in that, so they wouldn't see what was going on there as everything collapsed around them, you know,
like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, if you know, it's gone on forever, the same system. It's,
yeah. You can't have a movie unless somebody's pointing a gun at somebody and you're hearing a bang from a gun every 10 minutes in the movie, you know, or a car slamming into another car,
right.
You know. It's just a big Coliseum show, like, you know.
It is, the theater of war.
Yeah. But you were talking about people seeming really dumbed down. I've noticed this too, like, you know,
everywhere.
Yeah. And
children too.
And they're encouraging everybody to get an MRI. And I'm having this I assumed an MRI was bad. You know, I figured it's like ultrasound or x-rays, but they always say it's harmless. But I've known some people that have had MRIs, and I really do get the sense that there's a before and after effect where they seem to lose their soul, you know, after they have an MRI, you know.
Mm.
They suddenly, like, I know a couple people that have had MRIs, and after they had the MRI, suddenly they're a little timid, and they're lacking that profound, humorous spark of life that they used to have, you know.
I wonder if there's ingredients in vaccines, especially flu shots, that the MRIs can trigger.
Well, I'm sure they work
so
synergistically.
Conditions or cancers or anything?
I'm sure there's a synergism between MRIs, X-rays, ultrasound, and antibiotics.
I mean, if you've had a flu shot and you go in for an MRI, the doctor gives you a flu shot, and then you go in, and then he recommends you get an MRI or one of those scans for something.
Yeah, well,
maybe he doesn't know it, but is there a triggering effect to terminal cancer?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't want to know, you know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely, yeah. It's like a little piece of, it's like a little piece gets stolen away with each scan and injection.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. It's like a snake. A snake will just nip a little poison. It'll little poison into an animal, and then it'll track that animal. When the animal slows down, it'll nip it again. Eventually, it becomes paralyzed, and then it has a dinner, you know.
Well, yeah, you can definitely see it in modern kids, Jim, because obviously they've been subjected to the ultrasound, and then they started off at 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen many of them, and definitely at 6 months or 4 to 5 months, they're tracking you. There's definitely a difference in the eyes. Absolutely. I've seen it many times. With the way they're looking at you, I can see it. I can see it in their skin, in the reflection there. And then the 6 months vaccination start, and then the year, and then you see them at 2 years and 2.5 years, and the snotty noses and the pale complexion, right, and the weird look, and just the, it looks like they've been stunned.
And then they fall
standing there in limbo.
Then they start to lose their sense of
something
logic.
Stolen.
Everything's stolen, and then that gender identity thing starts coming in. And
it does.
And they lose the sense of what it is to be male or female, which is like a fundamental thing. And it's a big game, but it's just a game, you know, and life is temporary, and this is the game, and it's not a joke.
I wonder if they're trying to get to our consciousness, our spirits.
Get to the soul.
The soul.
It might be a cosmic game that goes beyond birth and death, you know. It's a big game.
That's right. It continues.
It's a big game because they're interrupting your evolution as a infinite being. You know? They're interrupting the journey of your soul. And so
it does seem like that, yeah. But it's all in the eyes, you know? It's all in the... in the face and the eyes and the way they interact, the way they display themselves. And you can see that difference, how it just like with each 6 months that goes past.
Well, the entire...
take another chunk until there's this 3 or 4 year old or 5 year old that's years behind mentally. I mean, honestly, years behind mentally and just socially has no clue. The parents don't seem to have any idea. And it's just amazing to see these kids. They're just a ghost when they should be a little kid jumping out of their bloody skin, Jim, and they're just this ghost floating around.
Right.
It amazes me.
Yeah.
We're
going to have a ghost society, man.
That's what I mean. And that's being normalized.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a concurrent giant slaughter to weed out those who've gone too far, you know. that's always happening. You know, the government already has these huge programs to handle the autistic debris, you know, of people when they get too old and they're autistic and the parents cannot handle them. They're too expensive. They go into these state-run institutions where there's like a life with like a 40% mortality rate, you know. They're just given a lot of drugs, and they go into these, and it's going to be like a furnace, a huge furnace of bodies.
That's right. I sent you an article, Jim, and I put it up just because I couldn't believe the headlines. It was from mainstream media in Australia because they can't hide the autism rates anymore, and it was a 42% increase in autism diagnosis, but it's no cause for alarm. And that was from 2012 to 2015. Yeah. And that's on the mainstream news, folks. And I couldn't believe it. I put it up. So the number of Australians diagnosed with autism increased by 42% between 2012 and 2015. Yeah. But autism advocacy groups are saying, don't worry, keep calm, keep watching TV, everything's okay. And they're saying, Jim, the reason why we're noticing so much autism is because it's being diagnosed earlier because the medical system is so excellent. But what they're doing is they're taking all autism cases and they're breaking it up into all different pieces so they can give it all different names and sell all different drugs for it and say, well, really, when you look at it, there's not many kids who are autistic. But it's really disgusting. But I just couldn't believe that general parents in Australia aren't questioning a 42% increase in autism in barely 3 years in this country.
Yeah, they're inventing terminology in order to maintain and create and expand a culture of disease, a pathological culture.
Yep. All sorts of conditions and behavioral problems. We'll give this a name, we'll give that a name, and look, autism's not that bad anymore.
Yeah, it's like a cannibalism of the society upon its own youth, you know.
It's a sledgehammer over the head.
Well,
even in the womb.
A constant sledgehammer. It's a million sledgehammers coming from everywhere, all directions.
It's staggering. And as I said, parents aren't, no one's questioning it. So they just keep pushing it. And then as it gets worse and worse, they keep bringing out these propaganda to normalize it. And people are just settling into that like they're being drugged.
Right. And then if you question it, they go mute. They won't talk to you, or they'll ostracize you, or they'll attack you, you know. It's a funny thing, right?
And, of course, as I put up another article about Jill Hennessy, the minister of her Ministry of Truth, with the no-jab laws in Australia, they're shutting the doors on rogue doctors. So this is disgusting. I've sent this to doctors who just can't believe what's happening in Australia. So rogue medical practitioners will no longer be able to make false statements about a child's ability to be immunized.
Yeah.
And those laws were passed in Australia today. That was in Victoria, not all of Australia. So the new laws will mean that any doctors who in Victoria, any GPs who write exemptions for immunizations, they're just not going to be accepted because they're now called dodgy and fake doctors. And they're writing false vaccination exemptions and they're putting kids at risk of deadly vaccine-preventable diseases. So no science here, no evidence, nothing to back any of it up. Just craziness, as you said, Jim, in the game of in the theatre here. But it's amazing the doctors in Australia have been gagged, you know, from writing an exemption or believing in freedom of speech or health or the parents' ability to make their own choices when it comes to their children. That doesn't exist in Australia anymore, it seems. Because we have rogue health ministers running wild like savage dogs, you know, so it's just absolutely unbelievable.
So Aristotle says that the rich and the poor should be driven against each other and then into a war, perpetual war, and then they must be led to believe that only by the rule of the tyrant can their lives be preserved. So he creates the problem, And then he creates the antidote, which is just like what we have with vaccines and medical problems and pollution and all that. They create the problem, then they sell you the antidote. You know,
that's David Icke says, calls that very well. It's a problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, the people react, they offer the solution.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they've always gone with, the same plan, and it always works.
It's like selling protection, where the mafia sells protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once the people are threatened or scared, you know, they're going to want that protection. So it's an incredible game plan that has worked for centuries for these people. But it does imply, again, Jim, that we're dealing with a predator that's indifferent, that doesn't have any feelings like you and I do, that's turning us all against one another in this game of this system of control.
Yeah,
It seems predatory to me.
But, you know, it's natural to want to turn others against each other, a mother will make her children jealous of each other in order for her to maintain her power as the leader of the family, right? I mean, it's just sort of a natural social game that people play, and this is just an extension of power.
You think humans, it seems like if we are dealing with some kind of predator, then it would know us very deeply and know how we tick to the deepest of levels. So it seems like all this stuff is in us, as you said, it's inbuilt in us. But right. Those bad attributes, if you want to look at it that way, are being abused and used more than our good ones.
Well, I'm not trying to see it as good and evil. I'm seeing it, although those are good shortcut handles, of sin and good and evil, but and devil and God and all that, but it's really, in a way, if you look at it, it's like the geometry of power. Just like I was talking about the mother and her children, she plays a triangle game or a pyramid game. And all businesses play that. They put their competition against each other.
It's a way to survive.
It's just a way competition in a world, a physical world, works. It's the geometry of power. And we have to see it with some kind of, equanimity. Just see it as a perpetual thing and try and figure out what side we're on and try and survive, you know. Try and stay out of as much trouble as possible and count our blessings, you know. Thank goodness we're not destroyed because so many are, you know.
Yeah, it could be an ego-driven...
Well, it's survival.
Yeah, problem here, Jim.
It's the optimization of your survival. And everybody does it, but it has a, you know, there's our attempts to do this are considered a joke because they're so weak. But industry does the same thing, you know, but on a huge and devastating scale, you know.
Yeah, it really is amazing.
Yeah.
So only.
So we're trying to keep our eyes open, trying to catch.
There seems to be so many people wanting to serve this system.
Well, another way to try to survive is to try to get on its side and try to be a soldier.
Get on its side, blend in, be part of it, become it.
Join the army.
Yeah, it takes a special individual, it does, to question it, but that's what they're stamping out. Anybody who questions this system, you're going to be stamped out. You're going to be cornered and isolated and stamped out, or unless you go on that side.
People join the police force because they fear the police and they feel, well, if I put a uniform on, maybe I'll be okay, you know. People become...
Amazing what a uniform and badge can do. Ego.
They become psychiatrists or psychologists for the same reason. They think they're crazy and they figure, well, maybe I'll just study this whole thing and get into it. You know, there's nothing worse than being branded insane. So maybe if I become one of those who brands others insane, like if I become a psychologist, maybe I'll be safe, you know.
That's right.
It's very weird.
It is. So yeah. It's a weird system.
Yeah.
You know, but I do say that in the podcast heading for this show that we're trying to break down the system around us. You know, it's all we're trying to do. But we probably have to finish up, Jim.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're reaching the end of our hour here, you know.
Actually, I just want to say this, Jim. I probably didn't need to, but I will just say this in regards to my website, crassfiles.com. I had a guy contact me today. He seems to be, he is part of an Australian website called Kangaroo Court of Australia. And, you know, I followed the site a little bit and I posted a couple of his articles. They're quite interesting, although they don't go too really far enough to expose what's really going on, but exposes corruption and blackmail in Australia in our court system, political spectrum, this kind of thing. And I just posted an article of his and he got quite angry at me and demanded me to take it down because of copyright and all this. I explained to him I make no money. I don't make 1 cent from this. No donations, nothing. I don't have anything. I put my own money, my own time, my own effort into doing what I'm doing now. And I run the Crass Files simply because of my need and my want to get information out to as many people as I can, because in Australia we're in desperate need. And so, you know, my website really is a newsfeed website. It's got a lot of different articles on there, a lot of different subjects, and I put them up. The problem I have, Jim, is some of these guys, and I've only ran into this once or twice, they don't like the whole article being posted. They want a partial article being posted and the link back to them. And I always supply the link in bold. But I've asked John Rappaport and many, many people, and they're fine with the whole article being posted. So, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. I told the guy I took the articles down, not sharing anything of his anymore. So that's that. But people need to understand I don't make anything from what I do. Nothing, not 1 cent, zero, not one penny. With thousands of people going through the site, I don't make anything. There's a donate button, but I don't get anything. No one donates a cent. So it's all just, I'm doing it honestly. I am doing this. He accused me of stealing his article. Why the hell would I steal an article? I mean, what do I get out of that? I mean, why would I put his link there? I would say it was mine. I don't make any money, so I don't have any use for doing anything like that, Jim. So I've only run into this once before. I can post partial articles with a link back. But no one seems to have a problem, and it's a link site, and I'm all about sharing information. That's what I'm here to do. I really honestly mean that. I want to share information with the public, all the mums and dads out there, any fence sitters, because we're completely dominated in Australia by Rupert Murdoch and his News Corp media. This is new to us in Australia, and there's not many of us doing this, and I'm trying to create a website that has a lot of links up on there and a lot of information where people can go to one place and read stuff. And I always encourage to go to the original link. And so now I'll be posting the original links to the articles at the top of the news article as well, just to make sure. I really want people to do that. But sorry, mate. Can't help it. Huh. Can't help it. If he's angry about that, that's fine. I don't really give two shits, Jim. So I'm doing my best.
He's probably not getting rich on his website either, right?
Well, some people seem to be. You know, people can see on my website, Jim, there's no Google ads. You know, there's nothing up there. I don't make anything from this. Yeah. And I've put a lot of money into making it look the way it does. And I've always had that idea of wanting to share information. I wish I could do more. But at the moment, raising a family and working every day from 6 to 6 at night, this is the best I can do, podcasting and putting out information so people can tap on that and read really good stuff. And I feel like we're having a big effect in Australia. People are new to this, as I said. General mums and dads out there, they're not sure about ultrasound and vaccines and all this information. It's new to them. And I just want the other side to be heard, because there isn't any debate happening in this country. It's really shocking. And, you know, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to share everybody's information. And there's a lot of big websites that I share their information, and I've asked them and they're completely fine with it. So my intentions are very, very honest, Jim West.
Sure. I guess maybe he's afraid that when they see his stuff on your site that they're not going to end up back on his site. Maybe
they're going to read the full article and not go there.
Yeah, that's what he's afraid of, probably, you know.
That's right.
But I guess...
I understand.
If you have links on his pictures and all that stuff, so if they ever click on anything, they end up back to his website, I guess that would alleviate his concern.
You know, I do try and help people. I mention them on the website, on the podcasts, on social media. I'm always sharing everybody's stuff. And in fact, I'm trying to incorporate maybe a tribune into the website, because some great people on Facebook are writing comments that are almost like an article. And I've contacted some of them and I've said, hey, can you turn this into a post and then send it to me, and then we'll add some links and video or whatever, and we'll make an article out of it.
Right.
That's for original content on my website as well. So I'm trying to organize that, just getting people to talk. Then it seemed to want to talk. Right. There's a very intelligent people with some things to say. And we had a great sort of debate on Facebook, Jim, with a guy that was involved in making ultrasound machines. But maybe we can go into that on the next podcast, because I feel like it's important. I tried my best to get him on to chat with us and you. I couldn't do that, but there was a man, and I was passing his information because he was involved in the industry, and he seemed to think that the doses are safe. And there wasn't any problem with it, but he was going off industry-related sort of handbooks and texts, obviously, what he was given.
Well, he used,
I was giving this information to you, and you were putting up some pretty incredible info that he couldn't
handle.
He couldn't handle, and then he ended up saying, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right.
But, you know, it's really funny, well, Jim, because I told this guy, I don't want to it's not a debate. It's just, it's great to, I want answers here. I'm trying to find answers. And I tried to get him involved. But some people who have been working in an industry their whole life and they retire.
Well, he was an ultrasound. He worked for the ultrasound manufacturers. His job was to measure the output of the ultrasound machines.
That's right.
And he claimed that they were very weak power and they couldn't possibly damage a fetus. And however, even though he worked for the industry, he couldn't remember what the power was on these machines, you know. And then he took it as an insult when I asked through you, you know, well, come on, tell us what this power is, you know.
This was a post on Facebook, Jim, just a lady who was first trimester pregnancy and wanted to know, was asking people, what should I look out for? How do I deal with the doctors? They're already pushing the vaccines and everything. And I told her the first thing is you've got to not get any ultrasound. You start with that and then get rid of the ultrasound. And then I just did a little comment there. And one woman did say, look, I understand, but, you know, that's not so easy if the woman feels like there's going to be a problem with the pregnancy and, you know, she's going to need to get an ultrasound. So I was trying to deal with that. And then he came in with all his information because, as you said, he was involved in making the machines and everything, and started wafting on. And I took it further because I wanted to know more. And he couldn't stay in the pool
with
Jim West.
Well, you know, you can't advise people on medical matters.
I wasn't so much advising, Jim. I was just sort of saying, you know, I put some links up there to your work on the DAS. I put that up there, and I wasn't telling her anything. I was just saying, you know, I said, here's some ultrasound information. And then I told her to email me if she needs any more information, which I was going to pass on to you. You know, I'm not an authority on anything, so I was just trying to help, because you do have pregnant women in Australia now who are a bit worried, and they're getting kind of bombarded with information and government propaganda, and they've got a baby in their stomach, Jim. And to me, that's very, you know, so important, and it's the gift of life, and I feel like I want to help because I know I'm in contact with so many great people such as yourself with so much knowledge, and I feel like I want to try and help. That's what I'm in this for, to help and share information, as I said, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand they get worried, and so I wasn't dishing out any medical information. I was just he's the one who came in and started pushing that ultrasounds were safe and effective because he's involved in the industry, and he kind of had this macho attitude.
Yeah, but, you know, also recall that he also had an autistic child.
That's right. It's crazy in a way.
What?
But once I kind of questioned that, he got a bit, changed. But we can go through the questions there because I think they're very important.
Well, maybe next time we should go.
You were laying down in the next podcast.
Yeah, in the next one.
I don't have to mention anyone's name. You know, because he wasn't any troll or anything. He was a retired guy who's been involved in that industry. And I told him, I respect what you're doing very much and thank you for your answers here. And I'm just trying to find answers.
Well, somebody who's in the industry like that is a really a valuable resource, and you want to get them to talk.
That's why.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I haven't had anyone contact like that.
Right.
But he seemed to be still spearheading ultrasound and still believe in it. And I understand because he's been in the industry and he's read all the books and he administered that. When you administer poison to people for many, many years, you know, it's hard to come to terms with and accept what you've done and say, look, you know, like I'm retired now. I feel like maybe what I did was wrong and I need to find another approach here and look into things and look at what Jim West is offering here, or this crazy guy on Facebook is offering here.
Yeah.
But some people are so set in stone and stubborn.
Well,
they're going to carry that into their graves and they will never change because they worked in an industry.
That's what I call the vested interest in your own legacy. People, that's one of the general trends, that people will not break their own legacy because it's, their legacy is the investment of their entire life, you know.
That's right. It's very hard. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, your whole life's work, and then suddenly you hear that.
And everybody works on the basis of their own legacy. They want to extend their legacy, protect their legacy, because they've invested their whole life. You don't want to go through your whole life like this guy and then suddenly go, oh, so I was doing that, you know, and my children are the cause. I caused my children's problems. And, oh, so all these things I was proud about, and this thing I made my paycheck with, is suddenly I was the handmaid of the devil. You know, that's hard to believe, for somebody to come to that realization, you know. So he has a point of bias that he's working with. You're not going to get an objective conversation out of the guy, you know.
I think he was obviously going through his books and what he was supplied with by the government companies at the time, and what he was taught in regards to ultrasound machines and administering the doses. But I think he ran out of answers, and he was confronted with some pretty stark facts that you were offering, and then didn't want to talk anymore.
Well, he would talk.
And I feel sorry about that because I told him, no one's going to bully you, or it's not a debate. I just wanted him to chat with us, like now, what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I would log him in anytime and we could organize it. And I wanted to hear, this is a guy who manufactured and administered the machine. So
yeah.
I wanted him to talk with you because you're writing books about it. It is so crucial.
I would love to get talked out of my viewpoint.
That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. I wanted him to talk you out of it.
Yeah, please help me.
Get him out of his skin, out of his body.
You know, I don't want to believe
Jim
this.
I wanted Jim West to grovel and apologize and take the books back. But
I'm gonna put a big recall out there for all 10 million books that sold.
I want you to be wrong, Jim.
Me too. I always.
And that's why. That's what I'm after.
Good. We're going to achieve that by the end of the year.
Let's hope. Anyway, I think I saved all the answers and questions and things on there. I turned it into a bit of a thread. And I think maybe on the next show we could start off and just spend 20 minutes going through the questions and answers in regards to that, because I think it was very interesting.
Fascinating.
On dosage and things. And if anyone, I know a lot of our listeners follow and are interested in ultrasound, so we can cough that up.
Excellent.
Great chat tonight, Jim. I guess we'll say this is the Night Watch podcast, and all the podcasts go up on crazfiles.com. Hopefully we'll be back next week or whenever, Jim.
Right.
Whenever.
Right.
Whenever.
Within a week, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
For two heads are better than one.
All right. Good night, Jim West.
Good night, Adam. Thank you.